from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. On this episode, we've got lots to talk about. As we mentioned on the last episode, Trick or Treat is coming to Halloween Horror Nights, so we're going to dive into that a little bit more, discuss that. We got lots of new information on Galaxy's Edge opening date. Disney announced the name of the location. Just all sorts of stuff going on. So,
yeah, I mean, we're going to review Solo, which the box office was a little so low. And since I've had to listen to Clint talk about The Greatest Showman for months now, I'm going to talk about my trip up to Atlanta when I saw Hamilton. But hey, everyone, this is Barry, and who's the other guy? What's your name again?
I'm not here. No, my name is Clint, and we're going to get started here. First things first. It was kind of a weird announcement. It was announced, or the video was posted on YouTube, then it was pulled. So we teased it, not last episode, because last episode was our Evermore episode, which, by the way, is one of the most insanely downloaded episodes we've ever done. So thank you guys for downloading, sharing, listening to that episode.
Yeah, it's number two as we're taping this, and who knows, probably by the time we post this, it may be the number one episode.
Yeah, it's doing really well, which just shows that Evermore is a really interesting place, and a lot of people are intrigued about it. So if you haven't yet, get back there and listen to our previous episode about Evermore. We discussed some really cool things about that place. So, anyways, going back to Halloween Horror Nights, Trick or Treat is coming to both Universal Studios Hollywood and Universal Orlando Resort as a haunted house. It was made official, and it'll be really interesting to see how they do it this compared to the Scare Zone that we got last year. Apparently, it was big enough of a success, which isn't too surprising to me.
Yeah, and I guess they can. I imagine they stored all those jack-o'-lanterns that they spent all that time hand carving, so I'm sure those will get reused. And we do know, according to Universal Creative Entertainment guru Michael Aiello, I can never say his last name right, it will be in the old parade storage building. So we do know the location of the house. He did reveal that for Orlando.
Yeah, and you can thank us for that. All the HHN fans love that, and they were it was on Twitter. I asked Aiello on Twitter, and he replied saying it was in the parade building. So we have a location. It'll be, I believe he went over some of the details as to, I can't remember what scenes. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think some of the scenes were mentioned.
Yeah, I mean,
speculated.
I mean, we're definitely going to see the trick-or-treaters, and I imagine, I wonder if they'll use a school bus for the facade. You know, I've heard, did someone say like the facade will be a little bit more elaborate? Because imagine they could reuse some of the stuff from the Scare Zone last year.
Surely they will, because I mean they had the lady that got, you know, the lollipop shoved in her mouth by Sam.
Yeah.
Surely they'll reuse that. I don't think they'll reuse the little facades they had of like the houses that they had in the Scare Zone. Those were kind of, you know, made for the streets for the Scare Zone. But there's a lot more that they can do with Trick or Treat in a haunted house. Like you said, the bus is one thing. I mean, they have the Walking Dead school bus that we've seen several times throughout the event.
The bus, I could imagine they would reuse, redress and reuse the werewolf puppets from the American Werewolf houses, possibly.
Yeah, I never thought of that. That's
for the part of the story.
Yeah, and you know we'll probably I would love to see I forgot his name, the
Mr. the old Krieg.
Yeah, Mr. the old Krieg. Guy. Surely we'll hopefully be venturing into his house and, you know, have Sam running around that'll be really cool if they do something along the lines of that.
Yeah, I imagine that the house is going to be full of I imagine Sam's going to pop up in different points in the house.
Yeah.
So
I'm not a big fan of the Sam without his mask or without his, you know, his bag over his head, so to speak.
Yeah, that's the one part of the movie that for me, the reveal when the bag comes off, it was sort of a
me too. It was like, really? Did they even have to do that?
Yeah, I know. That's probably about the only really disappointing thing for me in that film is
the
reveal when his sack gets ripped off. So
that, and just the way he looks. I mean, he looks like an alien, like pumpkin thing. He's just weird.
Yeah.
But I don't even think it was necessary. They should have just, you know, kept the mystery there and kept it on them.
Yeah. So I mean, we've got, so that's three of the six houses announced so far.
Yeah, and they posted a video today teasing like the haunted teasing the scares. Did you see that?
Yeah, teasing the scare zones. Except for it was 9 seconds long, and it was, you know, some shots of the clown saw.
Yeah,
and it's like, did someone jump the gun again, or was this just, hey, random?
Because I saw the tweet, and I was like, oh, they announced a scare zone. So I'm clicking on the links, and I scroll, and I'm like, there's nothing here.
And then the Horror Nights account, that's the one for Hollywood.
Yeah, at Horror Nights.
Mentioned that there probably won't be any more announcements for a while.
Yeah. But
whether that's a misdirect, you can't always trust what comes out of you know, the Horror Nights one for Hollywood always seems to reveal more about the process of because he was talking today about the designing Stranger Things and
yeah, what was going on with that? He was like talking to his personal account,
yeah, I saw some of that too. Yeah.
He was talking to his personal account, and I was like, "What is going on with this?"
Yeah, so I don't know if, once again, they do like to mess with everybody. I mean, he was also earlier before that, he was talking about, you know, the process of writing up Stranger Things, and you know how having to go through season one and constantly pause at different like audio, you know, cool audio cues throughout in the series, and make notes of them.
Yeah.
To pull for the mazes. So, you know, I mean, you seem to get a little bit more behind the scenes information from that account than you do from the Orlando one. The Orlando one just seems more about like making fun of everybody.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes Aiello, sometimes he, when after something is announced, he gets on and he tweets out some more details on his personal Twitter page.
Yeah.
But yeah, James is a little, I think that's his name, right? James?
I think so.
Yeah. He's a little more personal on the @HorrorNights Twitter handle. But going back to Trick or Treat, it's coming to both coasts, Hollywood and Orlando. So I know my sister, she's pretty excited because she was 9 months pregnant last year, and she's a huge Trick or Treat movie fan, and she was bummed she couldn't make it to the scare zone. So the fact that they're coming back this year with a haunted house, she was pretty excited about it. So
yeah, I mean, so far all three houses announced, you know,
pretty solid lineup so far.
Pretty solid lineup so far, and definitely a lot of hype for all three because high expectations going in, which that is every year with this event, but.
Yeah.
So far, you know, all quality announcements so far.
Yep. So Trick or Treat's coming back this year. Sam's coming. Speaking of, we're gonna kind of. That's really all the Universal news we got for now. So we're gonna jump over to Disney and we're gonna talk some Galaxy's Edge,
Star Wars.
Yep. And we got some international news that we'll talk about a little bit later. But right now, some new tidbits of information have been, I mean, sort of new information. Yeah. We kind of knew this already.
New vague information.
Yeah, I guess if you want to call it that. Disney kind of locked down the opening dates for Galaxy's Edge at both Disneyland and here in Orlando at Walt Disney World. which was kind of spot on with what everybody was suspecting.
Yeah, I mean, summer 2019 for Disneyland, which technically can be June 20th through September 20th.
Yeah.
And late fall 2019, which I'm still saying December.
For here?
For here. I imagine they could, and tie it almost into the whole... I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking like right around the release date of the movie, so they can get double the hype.
Yeah.
And also a bunch of pass holders will be blacked out for Christmas.
Yeah.
But I mean, late fall 2019, I mean, that can be up till, I mean, mid December. So, it's right around the timetable we've always known, approximately, and each one was approximately 6 months apart as far as opening dates go. So none of that is really surprising.
Yeah, we knew Disneyland's was pretty, a good 5-6 months ahead of ours. So that space didn't surprise anybody.
I think the bigger news was the stuff that came out of the Star Wars Galactic Knights event over Memorial Day weekend, where the name was revealed.
Yeah, this was really interesting because it was announced at the Star Wars Galactic Knights event at Hollywood Studios. The area in which you're going to be wandering around and exploring in Galaxy's Edge is going to be called Black Spire Outpost. And the other interesting thing was this was actually revealed in Solo, a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
And I had to do some... When people started talking about it the night that this was announced, I was like, really? It was... Because, I had seen Solo already. I saw it on Thursday night. And I had to do some digging when it was actually mentioned in Solo, and apparently it's when what's the droid, the female droid, she says it when they're talking about
the Kessel Run.
Yeah, she mentions that you could do this in this time, and she mentions the Black Spire Outpost. So I thought that was really interesting that Disney's actually integrating Galaxy's Edge into the movies.
Yeah.
So
it's a nice little tie-in, to the movies. And I mean, the interesting thing to me was more concept art was released, and this concept art looks a lot more final than the previous concept art. It's sort of shows shops and I found one of the things I found interesting is the walkway with stairs they show. I feel like in the previous concept, the same artwork had like a little stream running down the middle of those stairs, and that's definitely gone now, and it looks a little bit more theme park friendly.
Which one are you? Oh, are you talking about the concept artwork for the?
Black Spire Outpost.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now on our article. You talk about the second one, not the one of the Millennium Falcon, but the...
Yeah, not gotcha. That, no.
Gotcha.
That, I guess, is just... I don't even know what that's supposed... Unless that's supposed to be from your view from the ride, I guess, when you take off or when you're landing or something, maybe.
Well, you could see the rocks in the background, so that's obviously towards the front of the area. So
yeah, so it's the new concept art looks a little bit more realistic, and because the funny thing is, like, you can see the stairs, and then over to the left of those stairs, it's almost like, okay, well, that's probably where the handicap ramp to go up to that level is.
The now that I'm looking at it too, that kind of round building, the cylinder looking building to the left.
Yeah,
I think you can actually see that being built right now in the some of the aerial pictures that have been posted online.
Yeah, I think I definitely have seen that. So,
but anyways, we have a name. You're going to be walking around Black Spire Outpost. So it's still called Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, but you're going to be on the planet Batuu, and now you're going to be wandering around Black Spire Outpost. So we've narrowed down. Disney has narrowed down the exact location of the area you're going to be exploring once you enter Galaxy's Edge next year. So should be fun times. And again, Disneyland Resort, they're saying summer 2019, and here in Disney World in Orlando, they're saying late fall, as Barry was saying. So we'll see what happens. But you know, anything can happen with Disney as far as time frames, you know, delays. You know, so we'll see what happens as far as an exact opening date next year with Galaxy's Edge. So
now let's let it go all the way over to Hong Kong Disneyland. Sorry, I couldn't help.
Wow. Talk about a segue.
Yes, to their Frozen themed land, aka might as well just call it Arendelle. And I do find it funny that there is a castle in this land on top of. So this park will have two castles. It'll have the new big ginormous, I still don't know what the heck that thing is, castle. And then they'll have the Arendelle castle too. So
well, it's Sleeping Beauty Castle, right? They're just giving it like a complete overhaul.
I don't even know. I don't even know if you can really call it whatever the new castle is. I don't even know if you could call that Sleeping Beauty Castle anymore.
Because I did the article right before, and
yeah,
they said,
I guess it's still going to be Sleeping Beauty Castle, but it looks
nothing like Sleeping Beauty's castle.
Well, it looks nothing like, you know, Paris's Sleeping Beauty's castle. So, but
yeah, it looks really interesting. We have it up on. I got the article up right before we started recording. You can check it out on ThrillGeek.com. They released three new images today for what's going to be a huge, I guess you could say, facelift overhaul for Hong Kong Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Like Barry was saying, they released a new image of the castle, which right now, like we said, is called Sleeping Beauty Castle, but they're going to give it a complete overhaul. And I guess the biggest reason they're doing it is they're adding a stage. They're going to be updating it to include daytime and nighttime events, probably more stage shows, projection shows, what have you. You know, the stuff we see over here stateside. Because apparently I don't know much about Hong Kong Disneyland, but apparently their current castle is not fit for nighttime and daytime events. And they actually mentioned that on the Disney Parks blog post.
Yeah.
So, and then the other new concept artwork that they released is the new Ant-Man attraction coming to the park. Which will be really cool because it's not just going to be Ant-Man. They're actually doing Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, they're using the they're converting their Buzz Lightyear into
yep.
this Ant-Man and the Wasp attraction, where you will join them in their battle against Arnim Zola and his army of Hydra Swarm bots. So
yeah, I'll be interested to see how that, because their Buzz Lightyear ride is pretty much, I mean, I haven't seen Hong Kong's, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty similar to ours over here at the Magic Kingdom, right?
I think it's similar to Disneyland's.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, Disneyland's is a little bit more elaborate than ours is.
Yeah.
So they're converting it. It'll still be a shoot 'em up ride, but themed to Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I would hope be a little bit more elaborate than Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, with a Marvel budget, hopefully they'll put some money into it and make it a really cool attraction. Because, like you said, the Buzz Lightyear attraction is, especially ours, is dated, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But the one of the biggest, and this concept artwork was actually previously released. Disney just kind of, I guess, put it on the forefront today, is their new Frozen Land. This is kind of the big. What the heck moment with these new Hong Kong concept images. The original concept artwork for their Frozen Land, they didn't give it a name yet, did they? They're just saying Frozen expansion.
Yeah. But I imagine they're just going to call it Arendelle.
Yeah, that's what I was guessing too. It's just going to be Arendelle. because that's basically what it is. But anyways, the first concept artwork that they released, you had the castle. You see Elsa's castle up there, Ice Castle, Palace, whatever you want to call it, up there on the mountain. You can see the village of Arendelle, and then over on the right-hand side, they actually added a roller coaster to the concept artwork now. So apparently, Arendelle, Frozen Land, whatever you want to call it, is going to be getting a Frozen-themed roller coaster attraction that looks fairly similar to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train here at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, at least based on this concept art, it definitely looks similar. Whether it's the same exact layout adapted to Frozen, we will see. Because I believe they're supposed to be like a dark ride attraction, I believe, in this land.
Top of the coaster?
I thought it's supposed to be under in the show build. The mountain is hiding the show building.
Oh.
That would house... the dark ride. I can't remember correctly off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure they're supposed to get a dark ride too, because I know that was in the original concept for the Frozen Land that's supposed to eventually come to Tokyo Disney Sea.
Yeah, Tokyo's the other part that's getting the Frozen expansion.
And Disneyland Studios, Walt Disney Studios Paris is supposed to get it too eventually.
Yeah, so. Really interesting that they didn't include this roller coaster at first, and then, you know, they released this new concept artwork, and voila, there's this Frozen roller coaster there.
I mean, the park needs more attractions from, you know, everyone I know who's been there loves the place and is really amazed by it, but its biggest problem since day one has been the lack of attractions. It just has not had enough attractions.
Well, if what you're saying is true, this will give them a roller coaster and a new dark ride. So hopefully, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the image right now on my computer, and they actually changed some of Arendelle too. If you look at the concept artwork, which we have up on the website, I posted both the old and the new one. They actually changed Arendelle to what looked like little village houses. And now it's just like a pavilion looking building. So that's interesting. Don't know what that change was for, but anyways, we got some interesting updates there and it actually looks like you can't see on this image, but I've seen a higher resolution one, and the roller coaster cars are going to be like sleds. Yeah. So it looks like it'll be a pretty cool ride. Excuse me. So that was it for the new Hong Kong Disneyland concept artworks that were just released. So moving on, we're gonna come back here and talk about a big chain, Six Flags.
Yeah,
good old Six Flags. They actually announced that they're going to be acquiring 5 parks. I was gonna say amusement parks, but actually, what, two or three of them are water parks.
Two parks that they previously owned, Darien Lake and Frontier City.
Yeah.
And then 3 water parks, Wet n' Wild Splash Town, which is in Houston, Wet n' Wild Phoenix, which is in Arizona, and Whitewater Bay, which is the water park that's near Frontier City. And they acquired the lease rights. They're, I guess, basically acquired the rights to run the parks.
Yeah.
It
was really interesting with, you know, like you mentioned, Darien Lake and Frontier City, because Six Flags not recently, but they used to own both of those parks. It used to be Six Flags Darien Lake, and I don't think Frontier City was ever known as Six Flags Frontier City.
No, it was just known as Frontier City. And
the wife is from Oklahoma City, so she said... I was talking with her, and she said that Six Flags ownership was only for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's a really interesting time for amusement parks, theme parks. Apparently Six Flags is seeing the need and the want to grow, because they're seeing, you know, they're seeing Disney, they're seeing Universal grow by leaps and bounds. So, I mean, these aren't the biggest of theme parks, but or these aren't the biggest of parks, I should say. Like I said, some of them are water parks, so they're not huge acquisitions for Six Flags, but still, it's interesting to see that they're once again dabbling in, you know, purchasing, you know, the lease rights or, you know, to these parks.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's Six Flags has really made a comeback from where they were, what, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that they're really starting to push international too.
Yeah, with licensing overseas. Yeah,
there's a lot of Six Flags is really starting to do a lot of international stuff too. So it was just really interesting to see that Six Flags is once again starting to get back into things, because they've been kind of hush hush over the last several years about, you know, acquiring parks and, you know, anything of that nature, buying a park, or in this case, the lease rights to parks. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I always find it interesting how well they're doing now, and I think a lot of that has to do, kind of, if you've been to one, there's ads everywhere in the park.
Yeah, Six Flags has always relied heavily on sponsorships, advertisements.
It's interesting, and your Six Flags experience depends on which park you go to, because there's some parks.
Oh yeah,
that are really run really well, like say Fiesta Texas.
Yep.
And then there's some parks like Six Flags America that are just not known for.
I had a friend going to Six Flags America for the first time, and he was like, "I'm super excited." I was like, "Don't."
Yeah.
But no, there's, you know, there are good Six Flags parks out there, and then there's ones that just aren't ran up to those standards.
Yeah, and the last few times I've been, I've been to Fiesta Texas, and I've been to Great Adventure, and they were great.
Yeah.
I will say though, like Great Adventure, like the park is, while still good, it's a shell of its former self. There's like whole sections of the park that are just sort of fenced off.
Yeah.
It's sort of bizarre. You know, Fiesta Texas still sort of has the a lot of the things that made Fiesta Texas what it's known for is all their shows and stuff, and they still do a lot of that compared to other Six Flags. A lot of Six Flags parks, there's almost no shows anymore or anything like that in them.
Yeah, it's just rides. But no, I have the wife has family over in Texas, and so we try to do Fiesta Texas whenever we're over there in the area, and I really enjoy that park.
Oh no, it's a beautiful park. So
they that's one of the ones, and Six Flags Over Georgia is another one that I enjoy a lot. Excuse me. So anyways, Six Flags is back in the news with Disney and Universal kind of buying land. Well, I shouldn't say Disney's buying land because they have it, but you know, you got Universal buying all this land. Disney's expanding out the yin yang. So it was really fascinating to see Six Flags, even though not huge acquisitions, like I said, getting back into the business of, you know, taking over some parks. So it'll be interesting to see if Six Flags continues this and, you know, maybe goes and does some other business opportunities. So speaking of Six Flags, beer,
SeaWorld. We sort of figured that this was going to happen.
Yeah, we got news a little while back. Busch Gardens held a big press conference announcing that free beer was back at the park. Hashtag beer is back. And I believe it's two free beers per visit.
Two,
it's like eight
two,
ounce, seven
two
ounce.
7 ounce beers per visit.
But now we got word that it is coming back to SeaWorld as well. So you'll be able to get your booze at not only Busch Gardens, but SeaWorld as well.
Yeah, right now through September 2nd, from 10:30 a.m. to 1 hour before park close, there will be a complimentary beers available to guess 21 years of age and older. There's a special patio, I guess, a booth on the patio of Mama's Pretzel Kitchen that is where you get your up to two complimentary 7-ounce beers. I think right now they're doing the Mako Red Ale and I think Bud Light. You have a choice of two.
Yeah.
And they'll change it up throughout the summer. And then they're also doing happy hour starting at 4 p.m. That'll have, like, buy one, get one free offers on drinks and different food items at the Flamecraft Bar and the Sharks Underwater Grill Bar, too. So
I forgot who, but somebody mentioned that on Twitter. They're like, hey, if you take advantage of happy hour and these two free beers, man, it's a fun time at SeaWorld.
Oh, no, I mean, and it's smart. I mean, we've always said that, when they did the free beer thing at Busch Gardens, you know, and then the beer club, the part of it is to get you to buy more stuff, you know, and not just, you know, and we'll see once Infinity Falls opens if they end up offering some sort of type of beer club or pint club.
Yeah.
Here, because, you know, it was revealed, they haven't, like, officially announced it, but it was revealed in an article in Orlando Sentinel that the former terrace restaurant, which is still there where Infinity Falls is going, is being rethemed into the Waterway Grill. And that will have what we had thought, it will have craft beer at that place. So, it's to see if maybe they'll have some sort of beer club there or something.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going to bring it back, but they also mentioned that they're going to be bringing back the pass holder lounge as well. So it'll be interesting to see if that's included in there as well.
Yeah, I've heard that the pass holder lounge will be back. It'll be a little bit different configuration, I think, because I think they've basically redone. It's obviously based on the announcement that they're redoing the inside of that building.
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting to see how that comes out in the end. But anything, like I said, we've talked before. Like, you know, SeaWorld has been in dire need of updating their food
and
their food options. So they've obviously decided to create a new restaurant there, so it'll be interesting to see what it seems like it's going to be. They're calling it Waterway Grill, so I'm wondering if it will be, like we've thought, maybe some type of brew pub thing with your typical type of pub fare there.
Yeah, that kind of seems to be the trend nowadays. I mean, you had when Disney redid the entrance to what was left of the Streets of America, they opened up the Baseline Tavern. So I'm guessing we'll get some kind of pub, you know, type food area there. So we'll see what happens. But free beers back now at SeaWorld, Busch Gardens. So now you can go to SeaWorld and get your two free 7-ounce beers. And like I said, take advantage of happy hour and have a good old time at SeaWorld. excuse me. So Barry, did you see Solo?
Yes, I did see Solo.
What'd you think?
I liked it.
Let's just dive right into it. What'd you think?
You know, I will say that it was a fun movie. Was it predictable? Yes.
Sure.
I mean, we've sort of known. We knew that he did the Kessel Run. They sort of touched on every little thing. Him meeting. You know, we knew that Han helped free Chewie from slavery. From the Empire.
Yeah.
We knew he had joined the Empire and was kicked out of flight school.
Yeah.
We didn't know that he became, like, infantry. We never really seen infantry before in the Empire.
Yeah, that whole scene was... That little tidbit where they actually had him doing the infantry scene was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because we've never really seen, you know, them, you know, have to take a planet or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's always after they've conquered and there's stormtroopers there, and, you know, to find out that I gotta imagine the infantry are the lowest of the low. They're even lower than stormtroopers, because, I mean, they're basically not given real armor or much of anything, so.
Yeah. No, you know, this movie is, to this day, still getting ripped apart on social media. You know, whether it was a box office success on opening weekend or whether it wasn't. And I found Ron Howard's tweet. I think you saw it, about how he's, you know, it was really a humbling tweet where he said, even though it didn't break records, it was still a personal best for him.
Yeah.
So I that was a really neat, and you know, Ron Howard, he's really been interactive on Twitter with the people that have seen it and stuff, you know, retweeting and stuff. But I liked it. It's a fun movie. Like I keep saying, it's a Star Wars Western, you know, heist movie. So for what it is, I liked it. The soundtrack, I really liked the soundtrack. I mean, you got John Powell doing the soundtrack.
Oh, the score was great.
Mixed in with some little bit of John Williams hints in there.
Oh yeah.
You know, the sets. I had a lot of my friends saying that it didn't feel like a Star Wars movie. I thought it felt fine. I mean, as far as, you know, when you're watching it, whether I don't know what you thought as far as it, you know, feeling like a Star Wars movie.
No, it felt like a Star Wars movie. I mean, it's set in basically the underworld.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, which we haven't really delved into in a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, the whole thing with the box office, I think, number one, too soon after The Last Jedi.
Oh yeah, they could have pushed this movie back 6 months.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I understand. I know why it's not coming out Christmas time, but why they didn't just say drop it in October?
Yeah.
To me, would have been way smarter.
Because I mean, you've had Infinity War, you've had Black Panther, you've had.
I mean, we're not even talking about I'm not even talking about like the backlash from Last Jedi. I'm talking about the fact that it came out the week after Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
You know, week what, 4.
Infinity
War.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you would think Disney would give up on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
Because they have had so many issues with Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
And you would think they would finally give up the ghost on Memorial Day weekend, because it has been not very good to them over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, Tomorrowland, was it Prince of Persia, Alice Through the Looking Glass?
Yep.
You know, Pirates last year did pretty good. I guess did it set the Memorial Day record?
I don't remember.
I don't know why they did not move the release date of this movie. It boggles my mind.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you got to remember, I mean, the only thing I can compare to is Rogue One, but it's like Rogue One came out during Christmas time.
Yeah.
And it had a wide berth. And, you know, it's got Solo, a Star Wars story's got more competition. Do I think, I hope the box office wise it'll do better. It may not fall off as much, because I think it, you know, outside of the really hard, some of the hardcore fans, for most people I know, like the movie.
Yeah.
It's getting positive word of mouth. But it's just funny, because I think, like, Star Wars, I think they're having a hard time with the fan base of, it's funny, I've never heard of a fan base that doesn't want more content.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind.
Well,
it was a good movie. I mean, I've seen so many other movies that are far. I just don't understand some people and their negativity. It's like
people
so
just
many
like
other,
to destroy things. It's in their nature.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other movies that were horrible just this year alone.
Yeah.
It's funny because people will talk about how Star Wars story is, but like nobody's talking about how, with Rock, how crappy Rampage did. I mean, that's only made $94 million.
Yeah.
And then he's got that stupid skyscraper movie coming out.
Yeah.
It's like, I loved Jumanji. Jumanji was great.
Oh, that was a big surprise.
He was great in it, but somebody needs to tell him to stop making movies.
Slow down there, Rock.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to, you know, I mean, does anybody think Skyscraper's going to do any business in this summer? Because
this has the Star Wars name on it, you know, it sets a standard that, unfortunately, to the fan base, if it doesn't meet those standards, it's a flop.
Yeah, and I think in the future with these Star Wars story movies, albeit this one's budget, the reason it went so high is because they reshot 70% of the movie.
Well, that was the other thing. I mean, this movie went through, what, two or three directors too, right?
Well,
Ron Howard?
It was the duo, it was Lord and Miller, and they were like, what, 3 or 4 weeks from principal photography being finished.
Being wrapped up, yeah.
When they were fired.
Yeah.
So they reshot 70% of the movie from what people have said.
So I feel for Ron Howard. I mean, you know, look what he got handed.
Yeah, no, I thought he put together a good Star Wars film, and you know, I think it's partially just poor timing on Disney's part. To this day, I don't know why they didn't just move it.
Yeah, no, I agree there. I think a lot of people on social media agree that they could have pushed this back, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, until at least, you know, like you said, October at least, and maybe it would have done better.
Yeah, so no, I think it would have done a lot better if it would have been out of this time area. Facing out to people, Star Wars is holiday time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is now, and they need to keep it at that birth. That's where it seems to do best.
If they're
during that time of year, it's mostly facing like dramatic films and maybe a family movie or maybe
a couple Christmas movies. Yeah,
yeah. So
if Disney's going to keep on this one a year Star Wars kick,
they're going to.
The
people who think this is not going to stop. They're going to do one film a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think they have learned a lesson with the future, whatever the trilogy movies are, that they need to have one creative team overseeing that trilogy, because we all know with Episode 9, and they've been painted into a corner, and it's gonna be interesting to see them get out of that. But
yeah,
but I think also they I don't understand. I think they need to get out of this trilogy idea if they want to continue Star Wars to be success, because you're saying after three movies, after these characters you built up of like Rey, Poe, and Finn, that you're just gonna boom, that story is done and we're not gonna come back to them.
Yeah,
that makes no sense in this day and age when there's like what, seven, eight Fast and Furious films.
Yeah,
there was 8 Harry Potter movies, albeit those are based on books, but still people expect. You know, and then there's the Marvel Universe. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it would be an interesting thing if they could create with Star Wars maybe different movies, and then eventually these characters end up meeting up. You know, and you've got a whole galaxy to work with.
Well, that was one thing that I mentioned on Twitter too. Is I want to start seeing films in Star Wars is such a. I mean, you got books, you got. Just all sorts of other different mediums to make a movie off of, instead of just making a movie continuing the Skywalker saga.
Or going back to characters we already know. It's like allegedly now we're getting a Boba Fett movie and an Obi-Wan movie, and it's like they need to. You know, and they're obviously going to create new original stories. Obviously, there's a TV series in the pipeline, and we've got, you know, a new animated series coming, and I'm sure there'll be another animated series after that one. But
I would just like to see them explore more areas of Star Wars instead of this timeline. You know, go do it, find a book. You know, there's tons of Star Wars books out there that would probably make great movies, but they want to stick with this linear timeline of the Skywalker saga. Anyways, moving on. So, I actually saw
franchise. Which one are you going to now?
I actually saw Solo at Disney Springs, and before that, we saw a trailer for Christopher Robin.
Yes,
Winnie the Pooh. I mean, you've obviously seen the trailer. What do you think of this whole take on Christopher Robin coming back and all this?
Oh no, I love the trailer. You know, I love that. Apparently, someone else was supposed to do Tigger, but apparently that has changed, and Jim Cummings is now doing both Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, which is. That's what we're used to hearing for the last, 30 years or so, 20, 30 years. So I love the fact that, you know, that, you know, it's sort of like the next generation thing where they're going on an adventure with his daughter. And so I'm excited for it. It's definitely, you know, Winnie the Pooh, you know, what about 10 years ago, there was Winnie the Pooh everywhere, and then they sort of burnt out the as Disney seems to do, they sort of burnt Winnie the Pooh out.
Yeah,
and
which is what they're gonna do with Star Wars.
Yeah, but I like what I've seen so far, and I'm definitely excited for this movie.
Yeah, the trailer was. You know, it definitely hits you in the heartstrings. I have a feeling this movie's going to be, like you said, the movie's going to take place with Christopher Robin and his daughter. But I have a feeling this movie's going to end up very Toy Story 3-ish, where it ends up him handing off the toys to his daughter, you know, and something's, you know, going to happen there to where the animals are kind of passed on, because like you said, this is a passing of the torch, so to speak, for the Winnie the Pooh saga. So it'll be interesting to see how the story goes with this. So, but we really didn't get much as far as the trailer, so there's not a whole lot for us to talk about. So we'll skip on over to MegaCon. I was at MegaCon. You were there for one day last week.
And, yeah, I was there Friday for a few hours. Did a live stream that's still up on our Facebook page, and I only got a brief visit. It's MegaCon's always fun. God, there's so much stuff to look at.
I've gotten to the point with these conventions where, you know, the money aspect no longer. I don't bother with it because I can't afford half the stuff in there anyways.
Yeah, I mean, so, any of the stuff I buy at these conventions now, it's from the artists.
Yeah, supporting, you know, the artists and stuff.
You know, there's all these booths with stuff, almost all of it's stuff you can find online somewhere
and
else.
It's all the same stuff, pop vinyl figures and,
yeah,
I mean.
But you go to Artist Alley and there's so much different artwork and so many different things. You know, there's definitely a few things I didn't buy, but I got people's cards because there was definitely a couple people who did Haunted Mansion stuff that I'm like, I need to keep you in my list.
Oh, really? I didn't see a whole lot. And I spent a lot of time in Artist Alley, and I didn't see. I mean, I saw Shelby stuff, and I saw somebody else had some Haunted Mansion stuff.
Yeah, there was another artist near her that had some Haunted Mansion stuff. But I mean, that's the part I like. I mean, well, yeah. and the fact that, I mean, you can actually pay some of the artists, you can pay them $10-$20 and they'll do a sketch for you.
They'll do it right there on the spot.
Right there on the spot. You know, I mean, that's to me is the thing I enjoy outside of the panels. Is the other thing I enjoy about
yes,
MegaCon.
Speaking of which, I was so happy I got into the Jeff Goldblum panel because that was hilarious.
Yeah, that seemed to be everyone's number one highlight for.
Oh my God, the line for MegaCon. That! I got there about 10:45 ish on Saturday, and the Jeff Goldblum panel started at 11:30. I was like, "There's no way," because I still had to go pick up my badge. I was like, "There's no way I'm going to make this Jeff Goldblum panel." So I ran in, got my badge, and I went up to the next level upstairs, which they had. they had the line for Jeff Goldblum, and the line was insane. They actually had the line go inside like these conference rooms,
mm-hmm.
and they weaved back and forth in there, and then it went back out, and then it went into another conference room, weaved back and forth in there, and then it did some zigzagging just kind of out there in the common area of the convention center. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to make it into this. But I did, luckily. And I mean, I got serious nosebleed seats. I was about as far up as you could go.
Yeah.
Which is one of the main reasons I was going to record video, but I was so far up in the balcony to post the panel on the YouTube page. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to record the audio. So I ended up just recording the audio. And they did the... You know, the thing that's been going around Facebook and stuff with Jeff Goldblum reading, like, not sexual, but, like, you know, tweets of, like, women that are, like, in love with him. And those were hilarious. I actually posted that on the – I posted a big chunk of the panel on the Thrill Geek YouTube page, youtube.com/ThrillGeek, so you can listen to it. You know, Jeff Goldblum, he's so funny because – the Jeff Goldblum you see in the movies is Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
He's not acting. That's him. It's so funny how there's literally, you know, a lot of actors, they act. Jeff Goldblum, like in Jurassic Park, in Thor Ragnarok, that's Jeff Goldblum. That's not an act. That's who he is. This awkward, just, you know, just really awkward, funny, awesome guy. So head over to the YouTube channel, check out the, I say a video, but it's just the audio, but it's worth a listen to, him talking about those tweets and some other things. They gave him a box of, you know, the cereal, the Life cereal.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him a box of that, and it was Life Finds a Way cereal. So that was cool. And other than that, I just mainly kind of walked around on Saturday. My main objective was to get lots of cool video of cosplay. That's the other thing that I love, you know, since I really don't do a lot of shopping, like you said, besides spending some time in the artist alley. The other huge thing with MegaCon is the cosplay. So,
oh yeah, I mean, everywhere you turn, not just good cosplay, there's like amazing cosplay.
And the video I posted on the Facebook page of the Jurassic Park people, I'm sure you saw that.
Yeah,
all the people, the dinosaur costumes there that blow up, a bunch of them humming the Jurassic Park theme song. That was pretty hilarious. I posted that on the Thrill Geek Facebook page. But yeah, I got a lot of video photos of cosplay. And
we put together a video on YouTube.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I got a highlight video of some of the more cool cosplay costumes from MegaCon. I was only there for Saturday, and then you were there for a few hours on Friday. So we didn't get a whole lot of time there, but the time that we did get there, we tried to cover it as much as we could. Speaking of MegaCon, There was a whole lot of Walking Dead cosplay as usual. Let's talk about Walking Dead really quick, and we haven't really talked about it a whole lot with the season ending. But there's big news now that Andrew Lincoln is going to be leaving. Rick Grimes himself is going to be leaving the show after this season.
Yeah, and there's. From the latest reports, I don't even know if he's going to make it through the whole season.
No, so, I think they said 6 episodes.
Yeah, I think for 6 episodes for him, and then six episodes for Lauren Cohen, who plays Maggie. And they're sort of the heart of the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's really interesting is the show is kind of getting to that point where they... I mean, if you follow the Walking Dead comic books, it's getting to the point where they're going to establish this, I guess you could say, civilized community.
Yeah.
So is this the right time for Andrew Lincoln to leave? Maybe so. How they do it, I don't know. Are they going to kill him off? Or are they going to just, you know, my personal opinion is I think they should kill him off. I think Rick should die. There's no other justified way to send Rick Grimes off other than him dying. How he dies, I don't know, but I put some thought into it, and, you know, I was like, I wouldn't want him to do some kind of, like, Morgan thing where he crosses over to Fear the Walking Dead. Not saying that he would do that. He wouldn't, but, you know, I would want some better closure with, you know, the star of the show than just have him, you know, leaving and saying bye or something, you know, something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, we know AMC won't get rid of the show until it's not making them money.
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, him leaving him, however he goes out, I mean, that may be the final nail in the coffin for a lot of people with The Walking Dead.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I put a lot of thought into this whole thing, and I've been a huge fan of The Walking Dead. There's a lot of people that absolutely hate it. They think the show needs to die. You know, it needs to end. And if Andrew Lincoln leaves the show, and they're saying that Daryl Norman Reedus has been offered the lead role, I don't think I could watch the show with him as a lead role, because as much as I love Daryl in the show, Norman Reedus cannot act.
he does the same thing in everything he's in.
He's very monotonous and very, I like Daryl. I like the character Daryl. Don't get me wrong. But I can't see him filling the shoes of Andrew Lincoln, Rick Grimes. They would have to completely blow me away with something that I wouldn't expect, because I couldn't see it happening. I can't see Daryl as a lead character in The Walking Dead. So, as much as I love The Walking Dead, if this did happen, I would honestly want to see the show come to some kind of closure. I know this is for another time, but I've actually really enjoyed Fear the Walking Dead this season. I don't know. Have you been watching it?
Yeah, I've been watching it, and it's,
I'm actually really, really big improvement compared to seasons past.
No, massive improvement this season, bringing Morgan over, but bringing on, I've always liked Garrett Dillahunt. I mean, the guy's always been a great actor.
Yeah.
And you know, his character is it's his character what's her face?
Is that the cowboy guy or whatever his name is?
Yeah, his character, all the new characters, what's the other actress? Maggie Grace, her character.
Yeah.
And Jenna Elfman. You know, all of it has really brought something different and new to the show.
Yeah.
Which really, I mean, at the end of last season, we knew whatever happened. And once we knew that Morgan was coming, that there was going to, number one, be a flash forward.
Yeah.
And that they were sort of resetting the entire show.
Yeah.
And what they've done so far, I hate to say it, is way more entertaining than last season of The Walking Dead was.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've really been into this season of Fear the Walking Dead. The changes that they made, the way the show has been presented and carried, how about Nick getting capped off? I totally didn't see that coming. I mean, it's not much of a spoiler because
him getting capped off, and then of course the way they're doing the season with part of it is what's going on now, and then part of it's flashback. So it's like he got capped off, but we're still seeing him on the show because we're still seeing the flashback.
Yeah.
to everything, and. I know I've really liked Fear the Walking Dead so far this year.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get off topic, but you know, Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, it's all the same crap. but no, I just wanted to touch on, you know, because we really haven't talked about anything Walking Dead in a while. But I've really been enjoying Fear the Walking Dead, and going back to Rick, Andrew Lincoln leaving, it'll be really interesting to see. You know, I actually think it may actually get more people to watch this season.
Yeah, I mean, that might get a few
people, what's going to happen to Rick Grimes?
More interested, and then, you know, there's been the change in the head writer for this season.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of they've definitely lost a lot of people, and it'll be interesting to see how this new season goes. I mean, I mean, I'm definitely still going to watch. It's just, you know, it's not at the top of my queue the way it used to be.
Yeah, you know, I've always loved The Walking Dead. It's always been a guilty pleasure of mine, so to speak. But is it time for it to end? You know, the show, they're just doing a lot of, it seems like they're just kind of scraping for ideas for the show.
Yeah, any show that makes it, TV show that makes it to like season 9, it's
time.
Just, it's, you start running out. You know, when we talk about great TV shows, almost all of them, we're talking 5, 6,
yeah,
7 seasons. So,
and if you ask a lot of people say The Walking Dead could have ended, you know, 3, 4 seasons ago.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see with this season. You actually just got back from a little trip. We'll talk about that right quick. You went to Atlanta for a couple days, a little mini vacation.
I went to Atlanta for a couple days. Did not go to Six Flags and ride Twisted Cyclone. I know that's a shock to some people, but, you know, it's not always about coasters and theme parks for me.
What? You're fired.
Yeah.
No.
But you know, because my. Obviously, because of this pop, who know me, you know, pop culture, music is probably, you know, outside of theme parks, my biggest love. And, you know, we went up there. My family lives outside of Atlanta, and we went up there. And part of the reason we were going up there is to see U2 in concert, and also go see Hamilton, which was playing in Atlanta while we were up there. And those of us on theme park Twitter, there's a lot of people who are huge fans of Hamilton. You know, it's one of those musicals that's sort of become a phenomenon, and it's coming to Orlando beginning of 2019, and Tampa, and I'm sure it's coming to a city near you throughout the world. We went and saw Hamilton in. I love live music, live musicals. You know, I've seen so many different ones, from Book of Mormon to Rent to Les Miserables, Lion King, Mary Poppins. I mean, countless. You know, Green Day's American Idiot. Hamilton was hands down the best musical I've ever seen, and was freaking amazing live. So all I gotta say is, if you're a fan, when it comes around here or near you, get a ticket. It's expensive. It's the most I've ever paid for a Broadway musical, but it was freaking amazing. But then the other thing, I saw U2, and, you know, those of you who follow my Twitter feed know I'm a huge U2 fan, and it was the 20th show I've been to over the years.
I couldn't believe that when I saw it. I didn't know you'd been to them 20 times.
19
times previously, but I was like, holy cow.
Well, I mean, those of you who know me know I'm a huge live music fan. Like, as much as I love theme parks, I think I probably love going to concerts more, because there's just nothing to me like going to a concert.
Yeah.
It's an experience that is within itself, and U2 is probably my all-time favorite band. And the cool thing with this show is, the first song, they actually created an app for your phone, and they actually had augmented reality on the first song, where you could hold, you know, clicked on the app and opened it up, and you held it up as the song was going on, and you could see stuff in the app that wasn't going on in the screen in the arena, because their whole show has this giant 96-foot-long 8K LED screen in the middle that sort of divides the arena in half.
Yeah.
And you point the phone at it during the first song, and you see stuff. You see they use augmented reality, and you see stuff that's synced in with that first song.
Interesting.
And I posted a little bit of video of that to my Twitter feed. But Yeah, 20th show, and as usual, you know, a lot of people know, I mean, U2 is considered one of the greatest live rock bands of all time, and it was a great show. I enjoyed it, and it was nice to get away from Orlando for a little bit. The rain still followed us up there, but...
I was going to say, how was the weather up there? Did you guys avoid the rain at all?
No, it rained somewhat. I don't think as bad as it's been raining here, which is just nuts. I still cannot believe how much it's been raining
here. Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. Just every day, it seems like. So I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it. So follow us along on Twitter and Instagram at Thrill Geek. Follow and like the Facebook page, facebook.com/ThrillGeek, where we've got my live stream from MegaCon. We've also got the Jurassic Park cosplay video, and a couple of different videos from MegaCon. And then, of course, YouTube, youtube.com/ThrillGeek, where we've got a highlights of MegaCon video up there right now.
Yeah, we got all sorts of stuff up on YouTube. I'm trying to go back in my head here and...
You've got some of the panel from the Jeff Gold.
Yeah, I got that up. What else? Oh, I've been I kind of experimented with breaking up the podcast into segments. And I posted a few of those on the YouTube channel. So I posted the Jurassic World Universal Studios Hollywood announcement and something else. But yeah, that's up on the YouTube channel as well. So make sure you subscribe.
Oh, you reviewed the purple wall slush.
Oh my god,
I can't forget that.
I forgot to talk about that. Not much for me to talk about there. That thing was disgusting. Ugh. I mean, if you're a fan of the whole that tea thing or whatever it was, apparently it's great. But it's not me. I can't even think about it. It's making me sick. But luckily, yeah, Cheryl was there and she enjoyed it. But she didn't like the boba balls in that one. Are tapioca?
Yeah.
And
that's usually what boba is.
Yeah, it was. She didn't like that. But the drink itself wasn't too bad. She was saying this wasn't me, and you can see her in the video.
Yeah. But I still keep meaning to get over there to do my review, if they still have it. I think they still have the Millennial Pink milkshake.
Yeah, they do. I mean, when we were there, when I found out that they released the Purple Wall slush early, I walked over to look and see if the Millennial Pink thing milkshake was there, and it is. So I don't know if it's still there now, but as of when I filmed that, it was still there. So.
Yeah, so you've got that. We've got a Farewell to Talking Mickey video. And yeah, we have the podcast segment where we talk about the Maleficent fire at the
Magic Kingdom. That's what it was, the Maleficent fire. Yeah.
And the lighting ceremony for the rechristened the Eye as the Icon Orlando 360. So
yep. So all sorts of stuff up there on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to get all of our latest videos. I'll have some more stuff coming up there shortly. We're gonna try and get out to the parks and get to the incredible summer stuff.
Donald's Dino Bash.
Yeah,
and,
so
many more things coming.
We'll try and get that all up on the YouTube channel as well. So, all right, thanks guys again for listening. What do we have coming up really quick? Trying to think of stuff coming up. Yeah, this was really another catch up episode after the Evermore episode. So we blasted through a lot, but I'm sure there's more for us to talk about on the next episode next week.
Yeah, we will hopefully be talking soon about Pixar Pier and some of the other stuff out at Disneyland with a special guest. And
yeah, I want to get Ryan on so he can talk Disneyland and all the stuff going on over there. So that could be something we'll have coming up here soon. So, anyways. Thanks, guys, again for listening, and we will see you guys again on the next episode.
See you in the parks.